Now I'd like to go to my message to you today. And my scripture is in Isaiah. So if you would turn to Isaiah 66, the very last chapter of Isaiah. And let's start at verse 10. Be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice for her, all you who love her. Be exceedingly glad with her, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied with her comforting breast, that you may suck and be decided and be delighted with her bountiful bosom. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will be nursed, and you will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Then you will see this, and your heart will be glad, and your bones will flourish like the new grass. And the hands of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but he will be indignant toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come in fire, and his chariots like the whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For the Lord will execute judgment by fire, and by his sword on all flesh, and those slain by the Lord will be many. Those who sanctify and purify themselves to go to the gardens, following one in the center, who eats swine's flesh, detestable things, and mice, will come to an end altogether, declares the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them and send survivors from them to the nations. Tarshish, Put, Lud, Meshech, Tubal, and Javan, to the distant coastlands that have neither heard my fame nor seen my glory. Excuse me. And they will declare my glory among the nations. Then they shall bring all your brethren from all the nations as a grain offering to the Lord, on horses and chariots and litters, on mules and on camels, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the sons of Israel bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord, I will also take some of them for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For just as the new heavens and the new earth, which I make, will endure before me, declares the Lord, so your offspring and your name will endure. And it shall be from one new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all mankind will come to bow down before me, says the Lord. Then they will go forth and look on the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, and their worm will not die, and their fire will not be quenched, and they will be an abhorrence to all mankind. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the ones that have made their decisions to be in your house of worship. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on the ones that are not here. Wherever they are and whatever they're doing, Lord, we ask that you will tug at their hearts and to let them know that they need to go to you on your blessed holy Sabbath day of worship. And Heavenly Father, let all of us turn to you in praise and honor. Bless the words that we speak and the thoughts that we express, and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask, Amen. My text is in Isaiah, the 65th chapter. So let's go to Isaiah 65 and start at verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. I think last Sabbath my message was on the great day of the Lord. And that great day of the Lord is coming. There would be many that would wish that it was not true, that it would not happen. But it will happen regardless. And you know, for them, it's a day of dread. It's a day of fear. But it is also a day of joy. And my message to you today is entitled, Joy in Jerusalem. It's going to be a day of joy. Jerusalem will not always be a burdensome stone of offense. Let's read in Zechariah 12, verse 2 and 3. Zechariah 12, verse 2. Behold, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. And it will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. Do you see? The Bible lets us know that nations that trouble themselves with Jerusalem, those who find it something that they got to do, to come against Jerusalem, to come against its people, God is telling us that when the nations come against Jerusalem, when the siege is against Jerusalem and also against Judah, it will be in that day that God will make all those nations wish as if they had never even heard of Jerusalem, much less think that they could come against it and conquer it and take the people and the land captive and make all of the land their spoil. But all nations of the earth that ever think that they can bother themselves for whatever the purposes are with Jerusalem and its people, the Word of God lets us know that they will be cut in pieces. And this particular verse says that all who bother themselves with Jerusalem will be severely injured. That lets us know Jerusalem is a precious place. It's God's chosen city. He will deliver His chosen city and His chosen people. There will be joy, however. One day, there will be joy forevermore in Jerusalem. Let's go to Isaiah 65 and verse 18. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing, and her people for gladness. Is that surprising to you? It shouldn't be, because we know that the Scriptures let us know that New Jerusalem is coming down from God out of heaven and will occupy the very space of Jerusalem now. It will be rejoicing there. Jesus Christ will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He will be on His throne in Jerusalem. Let's go to Isaiah 66 and 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall be nursed, you shall be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. The Lord your God is going to be in control. He's going to have His way at that time in which His throne is in Jerusalem. He will issue the commands over the earth, and His commands will go forth, and they will be carried out. The Lord will at that time execute judgment also. We're speaking of that day in which there's going to be joy at last in Jerusalem. Let's go to Isaiah 66 and verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come in fire, and His chariots like the whirlwind, to render His anger with fury and His rebuke with flames of fire. For the Lord will execute judgment by fire and by His sword on all flesh. And those slain by the Lord will be many. Piece this together with all the nations shall come up against Jerusalem at that great day of the Lord. And picture what's going to happen. Jesus is going to fight against all of those nations, and His sword will be against all flesh of those. And will it be just a few? No, it's going to be many that will be slain at that time. The Lord at that time is going to execute judgment on the peoples and the nations that rise up against His land and His people. And how do we know what they are like? Against whom does He rise up against? Expansion upon the nations that come against Jerusalem at that time. The Bible lets us know that the people that He comes up against are those who serve other gods. Verse 17. This speaks of those people. Those who sanctify and purify themselves to go to the gardens, following one in the center, who eat swine's flesh, detestable things, and mice. Those are the ones. That's the description of those. And what's that saying? The ones that are not found in God. The ones that don't have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Those who serve other gods. That's what this is saying. Pagan people. People that don't serve the God that you serve. People that don't serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and on through David to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But those are the ones who follow pagan practices, who disobey God's commands. Who eats swine's flesh, an unclean animal? Disobedience to God's law for our diet? Those who deny Him, who go against His commands, eat swine's flesh, detestable things, and mice. That's pretty clear to me. And what shall happen to these nations who come up against God's chosen city and His land at that time? Shall come to an end altogether. That lets you know. The ones that we're speaking of who live in these pagan practices and pagan ways, who disobey God's commands, including commands of the clean and unclean, who serve other gods, does not recognize the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they shall come to an end altogether. And an end means an end there. They cease to exist. They live no longer. Can we say that they will go to hell? Well, I don't know how much more clearer that something can be if they come to an end and then they are found outside of God's will and they deny Him as their Lord and Savior and the Almighty Father God. They shall come to their end. The end of everyone that's found outside the will of God is going to be in hell. What are some of these countries? Let's sort of define it a little bit. Who are going to be some of these peoples that come up against Jerusalem at that time, that fight against God's people? Now, we're not saying that we know every one of them, because in certain descriptions it says all nations will come up against Jerusalem. But it also lets us know some of those. Libya. Have you heard of that? Omar Gaddafi, is that right? The leader there has been a long time. Out of favor with the United States, and recently a little bit more in favor because of their oil. Libya. Iran, Egypt, Turkey, Greece, Ethiopia, and that's just naming some of them. No doubt, almost all of those nations that have recently come up against Jerusalem probably are some of those. And I'm speaking of Syria, Jordan, Lebanon. Most likely, Saudi Arabia. All through the Bible, it speaks of the great day of the Lord and the day in which there will be joy and gladness over all of His land, because He will occupy that space. He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords right there. After some of these things that we're speaking of and reading of, after He brings fire and vengeance and His fury is taken out on these peoples and nations that come against His chosen people. How can we ever think that it's not of ultimate importance that we are always on the side of Israel? That we are always on the side of God's people in His chosen land. The judgment spoken of here is going to be that for some of these people, and I say some because it's clarified a little later, that there will be survivors. The judgment for most of the people that come up against Jerusalem is that it's going to be their end. What about the judge? The one that's going to do these things. Let's read in verse 18. And who is this speaking? This is the Lord speaking. For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues. That's what we're speaking of. The great day of the Lord. The time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Let's read on down. Verse 19. Is everybody going to be wiped out? No. And I will set a sign among them and will send survivors from them to the nations. Tarshish, Put, Lud, Meshech, Rosh, Tubal, and Javan, to the distant coastlands that have neither heard my fame nor seen my glory. And they will declare my glory among the nations. Isn't that something? That of some of the ones that survive that terrible day, in which God's fury will be poured out on those people, that there will be survivors. And He'll have something for them to do. And it'll be to go back to some of those nations and declare to them what has happened and declare to them His glory. And let's read on down. And this is really interesting. It's really wonderful. Then they shall bring all your brethren from all the nations as a grain offering. Isn't that weird? At that time, Jesus is still going to have a grain offering brought to Jerusalem. But it's not speaking of grain. It's speaking of a type of grain offering. And that is men and women. They shall bring all your brethren from all the nations as a grain offering to the Lord on horses and chariots and litters, on mules and on camels, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the sons of Israel bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. And even further, some of these that are brought back, some of these brethren, I will also take some of them for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For what purpose? Obviously, to do His will. To help Him in His work at that point in time. Brethren will be brought as grain offerings to the Lord. The Lord shall appoint some as priests and Levites. In the verse 21. Remind you a little bit. Let's go to Revelations 1 and 5. Let's tie in. The Bible is full of scriptures that relate to each other, that lets us know that It's not just one place in the Bible where something is mentioned. Several places agree in what it says. Revelation 1, 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Even so, amen. Do you think every eye shall see him? Excludes some? I think when that trumpet is going to blow, that it's going to be that every eye is going to see and every ear is going to hear that great and final trumpet of God. And every eye will hear, every eye will see, every ear will hear Jesus Christ coming in the clouds of glory. Even those who pierced him. Isn't that something? Those that have been dead hundreds and hundreds of years shall see and hear at that time. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Let's go to Revelation 5 and 9. Revelation 5 and 9. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and nation. I don't think I got this quite clear enough. In the King James Version, David, King James Version, let's go back to Revelation 1 and 6. King James Version. And hast made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Wanting you to see that it relates to that scripture in Isaiah, where it says, some of the brethren will be brought, and from them chosen, some will be chosen as priests and Levites. Okay, the King James Version, let's go to Revelation 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's letting you know, from ones that are ready to meet him when he comes, some of us could be chosen to be kings and priests of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to do his bidding, to go out and tell of his ways, so that even others can be brought in to the family. We shall live or endure forever and ever. For us, it will not be an end, like we spoke of the ones that come up against Jerusalem. The word says, for those, it will be their end. But for us, in Revelation 5:10, not only some of us will be made kings and priests for the Lord, but we shall reign on the earth. There shall be no death. Time will not end for us. There will be forever and ever. Let's go to verse 22 in Isaiah, I believe it's 66. Verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. Remain forever and ever. You shall endure. And at that time that we're speaking of, after the great day of the Lord, after joy comes into Jerusalem and gladness, what shall be part of the worship like? In verse 23 of Isaiah 66, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? It's not going to be a few scattered churches here and there with just a few people meeting on the Sabbath at that time. At that time, all flesh will go to worship, and it will be from one month to another month. That's what it's saying when it says one new moon. Every month has a new moon. So when it says that, from one month to another month, and from one Sabbath to another Sabbath, everybody's going to come to worship before me, says the Lord. Won't that be wonderful? Everybody will be seeing the truth of the Sabbath because it will be going forth from Jesus Christ himself at Jerusalem. He will be teaching his way throughout the whole earth and heaven having help of his children that are ready to meet him and have met him at that time. And some as kings and priests. And what do we see in verse 24? And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Sounds to me like the plan is to be able to remember what happens to the ones that rebel against God. The ones that go up against him and his land and his chosen people and his chosen city. You will be able to see the carcasses of those that have transgressed against me. In conclusion, let's go to Isaiah 65 and verse 24. Isaiah 65 and 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Won't that be wonderful? The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Things are going to be quite different at that day, at that joyful and glad day of the Lord in Jerusalem. Even the animals' characteristics, their nature, will be totally changed from what it is right now. They will not hurt or destroy. Peace will flow like a river. And perhaps that's why it said that a river shall go out from the temple of the Lord. Did you know at that time, Judah and Israel will be rejoined? Let's go to Ezekiel 37 and verse 15. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, "Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand." No longer will Israel be thought of as being separated into two nations, Judah and Israel, the northern tribes and the southern tribes. But they will be rejoined at that time. Israel will be one. And we know that ultimately the Word of God lets us know that God's plan, after all is said and done, is that Jesus gives back the power and glory to the one who gave it to him, which is God the Father. And everyone will then be all in all. Isn't that wonderful? That some of the greatest scriptures in all of the Bible will, that ultimately we will be one. One with each other. One with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. One with the loving Father God. Let's go to Zephaniah 3 and verse 14. Zephaniah 3 and verse 14. "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away thy judgments. He has cast out thy enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore." That's speaking of that day. Let's go to Isaiah 65 and verse 17. This is the last verse. Isaiah 65 and verse 17. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind." That means we're not going to have any tears. It reminds us of Revelation, where it says God will have a new heavens and new earth. There won't be any more tears or sadness. And this scripture says, "And the former things will not be remembered." And I praise God for that day and for His plan. Joy in Jerusalem. It's coming. A great and fearful day of the Lord is coming. But after that, joy will ultimately go forth and reign and be predominant in Jerusalem, the city of our Lord. If you would, stand with me in prayer.